The story that you tell in your special that is so funny to me is your fiance Dave had a bachelor party in Vegas, and then you showed up. You dropped him off at the airport, and then you showed up in Vegas? Like, was it a bit? I mean, are you like Andy Kaufman? Like, that's such an extreme thing to do in your life.
Oh my God, to get the Andy reference. That is oh my God, that's bigger than getting a Larry David comparison. Thank you.
That is the voice of Esther Povitsky. This is a really fun episode today. This is a comedian who I have admired from afar for a bunch of years, but we've never met in person. We have a great time. You might know Esther from being on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend or her fantastic stand-up comedy. She has a Comedy Central stand-up special that's on YouTube called Hot for My Name. It is a very cool, unique concept. It is her stand-up comedy intermixed with documentary footage with her parents in her hometown. And her parents are real fascinating characters. I love this special. I think it's fantastic. We talk about that a lot on the show today. We have a great conversation. By the way, thanks to everyone who came out to my shows in Colorado. So much fun. Thank you. Joe Birbiglia came along and skied. Next week, I'll be out in Texas. I'll be in Tulsa, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and then Austin. In Tulsa, I'm doing a little book event in the daytime at Magic City Books, which is one of the great independent bookstores of America. And then at night, I'll be at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. I'm so excited about that. Then I'll be in Austin at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. And I just announced my fall tour. I'll be in Red Bank, New Jersey. I'll be returning encore performances in Seattle, as well as Portland, Oregon. Then folks have been asking about the California shows. I'll be in Oakland, San Francisco. Then I'll be in Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, Champaign, Illinois, Indianapolis, Ann Arbor, Detroit, Dayton, Pittsburgh. It's still going. Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Asheville, and Charleston. All of them at beautiful, awesome venues. I'm a real nerd about theaters and venues. Speaking of which, I will be, very soon, I will be in Chicago. I'll be at the Chicago Theater, one of the great theaters of the world, the architectural marvel. It's, we added a third and final show there. We recently added a fourth and final show in Toronto and a fourth and final show in Washington, D.C. All of this is on birbigs.com. You can sign up for the mailing list to get the first news on presale codes and all that. But we had a great chat today with Esther Povitsky. We talk about her Comedy Central stand-up special, Hot for My Name, which is so funny, and about her parents, like I said. It's a great talk. Enjoy my conversation with the great Esther Povitsky. I don't even know if you think about this, but it's like you came from the universe of like Improv Olympic in Chicago and Second City and then did Groundlings. But then like, at least from afar, you seem to be part of like the kind of like Bobby Lee and like Bert Kreischer, like Rogan, like bro LA universe.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I like it though.
Makes no sense. Thank you.
No, but I like it. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it because like when I came up in comedy, those worlds were almost like arch enemies, like improv and stand-up.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like when I first started stand-up, I remember, because I just for whatever reason fell into being like at the Comedy Store all the time. And like my first week of stand-up, Mark Maron, I met him at the store and was like, I'm such a fan. This is so cool. I'm meeting you. And he looked at me and was like, this is literally, I'd been in LA for 1 week. I was 21. He was like, you shouldn't be here. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you should get out of this place. He's like, I actually have a show at this place called UCB. You should just come watch me and like see what that venue is. Sarah Silverman will be there. And it was funny. He really was like, looked at me and was like, get out of the Comedy Store.
Really?
Yeah. And I did go see his show at UCB and it was really cool. And I couldn't believe like Sarah Silverman was there. And then I went back to the Comedy Store. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
But how do you even end up at the Comedy Store? Because you were like doing like Groundlings.
Well, I wasn't. So that's kind of all like fake news. Like I took classes at those places, you know, because I grew up in Skokie, suburb of Chicago. Yeah. So I did IO and I loved it. And, you know, I was in college at Champaign-Urbana and I really did not fit in. And so every weekend I would take the train back to a 2-hour train ride back to Chicago to do class at IO.
Oh my God, I love that.
I know, but it's so late. It's like I left college on the weekends like to go take a different class. It's like so sad. I clearly did not fit in with the culture there. But so, and then that's when I was like halfway through my junior year and was like, I'm quitting. Like I hate it. Yes. I hated college. So I took those classes and then I forgot where it was because I'm 8 months pregnant. But
so you were taking those classes and then eventually went to Los Angeles after school?
I moved to LA and the night I moved to LA, I was at a bar on La Brea called Luna Park. And I was just like goofing off with my friend who had driven me out. And she was like, "You're really funny." And I was like, "Really? That's so weird. Like, I just moved here to kind of, like, get into comedy, but I don't know how." And she's like, "You should go to the Comedy Store." And I was like, okay. And I'd never heard of it. And then that was, like, that was it.
This is a weird story.
I know. It's, like, everything just kind of, like, I cannot express to you how naive I was when I moved to LA. I literally thought... And I always tell Dave this, and he's, like, obsessed with it.
Your fiancé, Dave
yes,
King.
Yes, yes.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah.
The writer, Dave King. Yes. It's hilarious.
Who's a huge fan of yours.
Aw.
I thought when I moved to LA, I was like, look, all I want to do is try to make it. And here's what's going to happen. In 1 year...
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to either be Will Ferrell.
The 1 year plan's going to be huge, yeah.
I will be Will Ferrell, yeah. Movie star.
Yeah, yeah.
And if not, I'll move home and I'll work at Walgreens. I can walk there from my parents' house. I don't need a car.
Yeah.
So those were my two options. And I was just, I was not smart. I had a lot of learning to
do. It's funny how different the plans are from the outcomes. Right? Like, because it's like, I was like, I'm going to move to New York and then I'm going to live on my sister Gina's couch, like not even far from here in Brooklyn. And then I'm going to get passed at all the clubs and then I'm going to, you know, and.
Wait, I feel like that worked. That sounds great.
Yeah, but it didn't work. It didn't work right away.
Right,
It worked. It worked over the course of a few years.
Yeah.
And it. What's interesting is there was no. It's funny you're saying like on the weekends you were driving from Skokie or
Champaign. Yeah.
Train. Similarly, like when I was in college, I was working the door at the Washington D.C. Improv, and I would like take the bus. Like on the weekends and go over, and it was kind of like that's what I was really interested in. But then meanwhile, like I was at this college and I was supposed to be like studying, and I was sort of, but I was mostly studying like writing, and I was kind of blowing off my other classes, and yes. I was really like trying to be a comedian.
That's so similar to me. Like I remember feeling so frustrated and isolated in college. Like I had this almost like I was hitting my head against the wall, this feeling that was like, I know I like learning and I want to learn, but I don't like what they're making me learn.
Yeah.
And it like frustrated me and I couldn't like express that. And that led to me quitting. But I was very lost in college and I'm very like envious of people who found the right school and got to like have a good experience. But I just, that wasn't really on the table for me. Like my parents really wanted me to go to that specific school, which was a Big Ten school, 2 hours from the house.
Oh.
Like, but that was like frat sorority culture. I didn't drink. I just was, it like, I can see how it very easily led to me being like isolated and like watching The Office illegally and just being like obsessed with comedy.
But then like you fell in with like this whole like universe of like essentially like Comedy Store comics.
Yeah.
Like the like Bobby Lees and like Bert Kreischer's of the world.
Not Bert so much. He wasn't really around, but I think that's just a name that like brands that it's like very much the branding of it. I love Bert, but I don't actually know him that well. But Bobby definitely, and like
who
Marin,
was in that? Yeah, Marin. Who
Whitney,
else was in that group? Oh, Whitney. Yeah.
Chelsea and Natasha were around. Mm-hmm. Moshe came around. Mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, Moshe Kasher's a store comedian? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, actually he is. Yeah, I know. He's another one where it's like, wait, that doesn't, he should be at the UCB, but right. He's everywhere.
Right.
You know? Like those kinds of people, I would say. Yeah.
This is literally all new to me because I'm so disconnected from the Los Angeles comedy scene. Like when I'm there, I maybe go to Largo or something.
That you makes know what I mean? Sense why we've never had crossover because yeah. I'm so like an LA girl, which I hate. Like I hate it. It's like embarrassing because the LA comedy scene has the worst reputation. Like it's just lame. And then you like I was saying earlier, I spent 4 months in New York last year and it was like my dreams came true. I got to play the New York comedy clubs and like walk around from set to set. And I really had the like romantic, I'm a stand up, I'm on a subway.
Yeah.
So I like long for that so much.
Wow. We gotta steal you.
New York
comedy's
so
gotta steal you.
I know.
Yeah, but then there is like a weird like New York LA comedy schism, but there are a lot of great LA comics. So it's like not that founded of a snobbery that New York comics have.
Yeah, but I know that like I fit in one of the LA comedian stereotypes, which I can't believe I'm putting myself on blast, but it's like I'm not really a joke girl. And I know that's like bold to say as a person who identifies as a stand-up comedian, but I feel like in New York, it's really about the jokes, which is makes sense. And I am like, I have this aversion to actual jokes. I know that's...
But you have some great jokes. have that great joke about how you're like, you know, I would never be with my dad, like he's 75 broke or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That's such a joke, you know?
I guess that's true, but like there's something within me that fights that thought and I'm like, almost like I'm icked out by jokes and I want to pretend that they're not jokes because there's something about like the algebra or like the math of like a hard-hitting joke that I don't like it. And when I think about stand-up, for me, it needs to feel like a real thing I would say.
Yeah, of course.
And not...
I agree.
And so I would rather it be that than like a perfectly crafted joke.
Yeah.
Even though they, like you said, it is a joke, but in my mind, I can't... I'm like, ew, no, it's not.
But I'm obsessed with that exact thing that you're saying, which is the intersection of... something you would say and that is real and true to you and also something that, like, that joke about your dad, like, has a left turn.
Yeah, or gets a laugh at least.
Yeah, but also it's an insane left turn. You know, like, I'm not attracted to, you know, I never sleep with my dad or whatever. He's 75 and doesn't have money. Like, it's an absurd line.
But it's true.
It's also true.
Like,
it's like, true, but it's a full joke. I mean, you claiming to not like jokes and then like writing a joke that perfect is like you have a lot to answer for.
That's so nice of you. And I'm really, I do appreciate you coming to bat for me right away and like making sure everyone knows I do tell jokes. But like, I think a lot about that sort of Judd like rule in comedy. And I bring that up because I know you work with him and you probably like follow this too. But I always think like, what is the funny thing that it's funny coming out of that person's mouth?
Yeah. That's why your special Hot for My Name is part of the reason it's so funny. Hot for My Name?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
which is also, by the way, a great joke.
And true,
right? So it's like, I think I can give this away because the special came out a few years ago.
Yeah, please.
But it's like someone suggested that you change your name when you moved to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you're like, no, Pavitsky's a family name. And they're like, no, Esther.
You're making me laugh with my own jokes.
Yeah, it's a good joke. Come on, people. These are good jokes.
You're actually making me feel a little relieved. At least your retelling of them. Because as I was saying when we were walking in here, like, when you watch your stand-up from 3-4 years ago, I'm just like, ugh, my delivery, I can't. It's
really?
Yes, it's like so stiff and I don't like it at all. And I feel so eager to get another special out because I want to be so different now. I don't know. But I am glad at least that I'm like, okay, the material sounds like it was okay.
It was really funny. And like, just to give context to people who haven't seen the special, you should watch the special. It's on YouTube. It's on all the Comedy Central, wherever Comedy Central is now. I don't know.
No one knows. No one knows.
But it's a great special. And you go in between vignettes of you with your actual parents in Skokie. And it's great. Like, to the point where the interludes are so good that I'm like, what did you shoot, 100 hours of this stuff? Like, it's so good. Or did you just get gold right away?
We shot not a ton, but more, certainly more than what we got, what we showed. So somewhere in the middle of your two guesses, I would say. And I'm very proud of that footage.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm like, my goal, compliment or diss for the special, I love when people are like, Esther, your stand-up is the least funniest thing in your special. Like, that's the goal. I think my parents are so funny. And I mean, everyone thinks their parents are funny, so right. I get it. But I'm glad that we actually kind of captured some of it.
Yeah.
And also sort of like the origins of why I am this way, I think, are there a little bit.
So you say I love you to your parents. Do they say I love you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because your mom tucks you in and you say you're my best friend. And she doesn't respond. And then you say, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
It's really sweet.
And she says, I go, am I your best friend? She's like, I don't have a best friend.
I don't have a best friend.
Yeah. She's Finnish. And so she's just like, they don't really emote.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. The Finnish people are quiet.
Oh, interesting.
And they're kind, but it's a quiet kindness.
Healthcare.
Yeah. they have
their annual checkups and saunas. Yeah. Yeah. They're drinking a lot of water.
Yeah. So she's
they don't emote.
No. She's very different.
I get it.
Culturally.
I always think, like, if you can take something that is like awkward and painful and embarrassing, like, and put it out there. Like, the story that you tell in your special that is so funny to me is your fiance Dave had a bachelor party in Vegas, and then you showed up. You dropped him off at the airport, and then you showed up in Vegas? Like, I can't even grasp how you would arrive at that as a good idea.
Wait, and that's like the exact perfect reaction that like everyone gave to me. Everyone, like, and I'm what? In shock. I don't understand you this side.
You showed up at his hotel room. He didn't even tell you his hotel room number.
No.
You got it from the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
I know, and it is. It's fascinating. Again, I never could have come to your view of it, but everyone gave me this view. I remember my dad sat me down and was like, you need to come to your senses and not do this.
Did you tell your dad you were about to do it?
Yeah, I told my parents.
You told everyone in your life, but you didn't tell Dave?
Yeah.
Was it a bit? I mean, are you like Andy Kaufman? Like, that's such an extreme thing to do in your life.
Oh my God, to get the Andy reference. That is gold. Oh my God, that's bigger than getting a Larry David comparison. Thank you. Holy shit. I have to deflect that. That's too nice. But obsessed. But I genuinely am just, my brain is just delusional. I thought it would be funny.
Okay.
I thought he would be happy to see me.
Okay.
He wasn't.
So it is a little bit of a bit.
Yeah. Like, I definitely, in the way I told it in the special, was more like I was going to see what he was up to, because I found that I needed an angle, or else it seems so wacky that I did that.
Yes.
But that was not it at all. I literally was just like, hey, like, thought it would be funny.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He did not think it was funny, and he was pissed.
It's an invasion of privacy.
Yes, I'm learning boundaries at 35. I'm learning them. But he was, it was so awkward when I got to his room. He had the energy of, I guess I'll invite you in. And like, we sat in his room,
oh,
and it was just like a quiet, like, he was like, why did you do this? And I was like, it's not funny. Are we sure? Like, it's crazy.
We're both comedians. We're both comedy writers. It's a funny thing.
And then I quickly had to reassure him, like, I'm not here to hang out with you and your friends. And I think that was like a huge relief, you know, that I wasn't going to like
crash.
Yeah.
Fully crash.
Yeah. And with that, and then it was fine. And he's still kind of like, I literally can't believe you did that. And also, like, men online.
Men online.
Not a fan of that.
Always movie. A disturbing beginning of a sentence. Men online.
Like, I get so much hate when that story comes up. Like, people just, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't see it the way everyone else sees it. And I'm like, hopefully I only ever have one fiance with one bachelor party. It was a once in a lifetime deal. And I think also too, in my head, I was like, oh, maybe it'll be like a movie idea here or something.
That's a really funny thing about Men Online. Do you get the Men Online hate generally for your stand-up?
No. And if I do, I tune it out. It's like the same generic stuff. I don't really care. I think I've been getting criticized for so long, as has everyone who exists online, that I tune that stuff out pretty... I do a good job at it. There was just that one specific... That bachelor party came up on a podcast I was doing with Rick Glassman last year. And I was like, whoa, I didn't... Again, I... just didn't see this reaction coming. I saw it so differently, but...
But it's also, when you put it in the context you're putting it in, it is very funny.
Thank you.
Like, I didn't see it. Like, the way you tell it is as though you're not doing it as a bit, but you're explaining it now. Like, it is. That's a very funny, absurd thing to do.
Okay, good.
Are you the type of girlfriend who, like, would you read his text?
The first, like, few months of our relationship, I did.
Shocking.
And it was, and it was, like, after the third time that he was in the shower and I went through his phone and there was nothing there, I was like, oh, this is done. Like, I don't need to do this anymore. I, like, got it out of my body. But it's because I was such a crazy young girl in my 20s who was in, like, my previous relationships were, like, everyone was lying and fighting and it was toxic. And I only knew that. And so then I find this healthy guy.
This boring man, Dave King. Yeah,
who's, like, so mature and healthy. And, of course, I'm going to start it out being old Esther, who's, like, you know, suspicious and whatever and just insecure, couldn't believe that this guy would actually be, had never had the experience of, like, a guy liking me, being honest, just genuinely enjoying spending time with me. So I just didn't know that that could be. And I think that's, like, more common than you think. It's like, if you don't find that, how do you know that that exists? And so I really, like, learned a lot of how to be a secure adult, secure attachment. That's what he has. I had anxious, insecure or something.
Is this like a clinical thing that I don't know?
Yeah, wait, you don't know attachment styles?
No.
What?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know attachment styles. Yeah, let me just look it up.
If you don't know them, you're probably secure attached.
No, tell me what they are, because I'm curious.
So there's, like, anxious attached, anxious avoidant, and then secure. And so, like... What?
No, I'm just like, it's a lot to take in. I feel like I'm like all of the above or something.
No, I think you're giving secure. Don't worry.
I'm giving secure vibes.
Yeah, like the most common toxic combo is an anxious and an avoidant. So then it's like, the anxious is like, are you sure you like me? And then the avoidant is like, oh, they like me too much. And then they run away. And then the anxious runs closer.
Oh, yeah, that seems bad.
That was, like, everything before I found Dave.
Really?
Yes.
That was all your relationships?
Yes. I mean, it's not that many, but it's, like, I was always anxiously attached. And
the person was avoidant of discussing it with you.
Yeah. Not maybe specifically that, but just that would play out in different ways. Ooh. And I think this is all our caregivers' faults.
Is that true? Yeah. You think it's from our parents?
That's what they say.
Wait. In other words, like, we're mimicking what our parents did.
Like, if you're secure attached, that means that your needs were always met. And I think if you're anxious, your needs were sometimes met.
Okay.
So I don't remember what avoidant is, but...
You were abandoned by your
But
dad.
I wasn't. So so I don't really know what happened. I keep trying to figure it out, but I can't. It's like, I think it actually is my fault in some way. But anyway, so... I think for people out there who are like, I don't know how to get out of break this cycle. It's like, you kind of need to get on board with a secure attached and, like, learn there.
Right.
And that's what happened right away with him. I couldn't believe it. It was just like, And that's, I feel like, a common theme for me. I kind of just need to be exposed to the right thing, and then I can get the hang of it.
Interesting.
Like,
so you're anxious, and so you needed a secure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every anxious needs a secure. Everyone, you need it.
But how many are there enough secures to go around?
Great question. They say that there should be, but I don't buy it. I think they're so rare.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And certainly in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And honestly, New York.
I bet.
This is a joke I've kicked around for years, but I always say to my single friends, you know, like, don't move to New York, because every single woman thinks they're in Sex and the City, and every single man thinks they're in Mad Men, and we're all in Game of Thrones. Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura Frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful. And it just kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Support for Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out comes from Helix Sleep. Helix has been with this podcast from the very beginning. We are huge Helix mattress fans over here. Let me tell you a few things that are great about Helix Sleep mattresses. They are fiberglass free. Unlike other brands, Helix mattresses do not contain fiberglass, which can be harmful to your health. As you may have seen in the news or on social media, there have been a number of health issues and lawsuits related to fiberglass and mattresses. You know, actually, I used to have a mattress that was pure fiberglass. It was literally a bed of fiberglass. No longer. I sleep on Helix mattresses, which are fiberglass free. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Birbigs. That's helixsleep.com/Birbigs. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long with Helix. Better sleep starts now. No, now. All right, so this is called the slow round. What are people's favorite and least favorite things about you?
Oh my goodness. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Oh.
I don't know. My family's favorite thing is probably that I pay for everything.
Oh, that's huge. Financial stability.
They love when I do that. Oh my gosh. And I fully am on board with buying their love. Like,
oh God.
I don't mind at all. And least favorite, I'm a mope.
Oh, you're a mope.
Like, I'm like a complaining mope. Yeah.
Wow, really?
Like, literally, I was complaining about being pregnant, and then someone was like, I think you're always like this. And I had to really look within and be like, okay, there is for sure some truth to that. So,
what's the thing that you find yourself complaining about most on a regular basis?
It's so hard because right now it's just being pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember life before that, really.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
Wow.
I don't know, but my natural disposition is not like, happy, let's plan the day.
Yes.
You know, that's not, and neither me or Dave are like that. We always joke, like, we need a third person in the relationship who just, like, plan stuff, because we're not planners, but we're working on it. I guess the third person could be the baby. Is that good?
Yeah, that's not too much to put on a baby.
But you know what my dad always says about me, which I think is, he's like, he says I'm a generous laugher and that I do like to have fun and that like
that's nice.
Probably what people enjoy. And I do think in comedy especially, because we're around people who like to make people laugh,
yeah.
And I like to laugh, that it's easy to fit in for me because I'd so much rather be sitting in the green room quiet laughing than be the one
on stage
laughs. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when I'm on stage, I always want my stage time, but I'm just saying like when people are all hanging out,
yeah.
That's when I love to just sit and be, I'm like a little baby. I'm like, entertain me. You guys are funny. And thankfully we're in a business where a lot of people are like,
yeah,
down.
Totally.
So I'm going to look at that as a good quality.
It is a good quality.
Even though it's
I just really rip the positive quality out of you.
I love to have fun, even though I'm a mope.
Your most positive and least positive were both negative qualities. We've never had that. What's a song that makes you cry?
I don't cry that easily despite clearly looking like I do, like I would. I have the personality of a girl who cries all the time, but I've like trained myself to be tough for some reason. But I love listening to Lana Del Rey. Mm. I love her music, her lyrics. I love that she's a sad lover girl and she's similar to sort of what we've been talking about. Like she's really honest about vulnerable things
that
would be hard to share. Just like being way too into a guy or something like that. So I do really like her music a lot.
So you get locked into the emotion of her stuff, but you don't necessarily cry.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Her stuff, I think it's just great for that exact reason.
Yeah. There's not a lot of like crazy girls out there really articulating it well.
Yeah.
And beautifully. And she does it.
Was there a group growing up that wouldn't let you in?
Like my own family.
Oh my God.
I'll quickly tell you my famous story. My famous story of being at my aunt's house in Wisconsin and like not being able to find any of my cousins. And then just sitting with the adults for like 2 hours listening to them talk. And it was so boring. And I was just like, I don't know where everyone is. And then finding out they were all playing in the attic without me.
Oh.
So that was hard.
So your own child peers.
Yeah. I still don't know why.
Why do you think they excluded you?
The only lead I have.
The only lead?
Is that my sister was the oldest and she was the ringleader and she was probably like, it's fun to play with other kids other than my sister. That's like the softest version I can think of.
Wow.
That I can live with.
So you were really excluded from like even just kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that way at school. Like I felt like at school I was confident and kind of a leader. It was none of this is adding up now that I think about it. But I just was very also different from my family because my mom, like I said, was Finnish and my dad is Jewish. And so it was always with my mom's family. And so I was like the Jewish one. And I think that made me like just a little different.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember as a kid doing something bad and you got away with it?
You know, I did a couple of things that like were bold. And I remember my dad's reaction, which would not be what you'd think a dad's reaction would be. It was like, well, you're trying new things, you know? So there was an acceptance of like kookiness.
What was the thing? Do you remember? Or can you not say?
I don't want to say.
Oh, you don't want to say? No. Wow. It was like extreme.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
I know. I'm sorry.
What is the general theme of what occurred?
Nudity.
Okay.
Maybe so bleep that nudity. Out.
Okay. Bleep out the theme? I mean, we can, but like... I think you gotta find your inner Lana Del Rey on this one.
Yeah, okay, you don't have to bleep it.
So you
Wait, Wait till I walk down the aisle.
Oh my gosh. So your dad with that incident was just like, well, you're just finding yourself.
Yeah.
That's nice. I love that.
Yeah, I'm grateful for that too now.
Yeah.
Cause I was never, it made me not feel shame, and I didn't feel like I need to hide things from my parents. When I learned that other kids were doing that, I was like, why? I don't know. So I hope that that's something that I hope that as a parent, I can figure out how to replay.
Yeah. Do you, like, what are the things that you hope to model, you know, to do? What do you hope to do as a parent that your parents did? And then what are the things that you want to kind of reverse from your parent that you got from your parents?
I don't know. Will you tell me what to do?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're all trying our best.
I have no I have no plans as a parent.
Okay. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
That seems good.
We'll just figure it out, right? We won't overthink it.
Yeah, I think that seems great.
And Dave is healthy and secure. And so I feel like I can trust that he'll have good instincts.
I will say, of all the people I've met, your fiance, Dave, is one of the more stable people I've met in the comedy field.
He's very stable.
Or presents as stable.
He's so stable.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's great. It's so weird. Like, we always joke that if he ever killed me, my parents would take his side. Because they would know that he's so stable that if something led to that, they'd be like, we know that if he did it, like, right. he had to.
Wow. You should do that as a bit.
Oh, okay.
You can do that?
I'll try it.
That's a great bit.
Okay.
You just gotta find more punchlines, but it's like...
That's the hardest part.
Yeah, but that's a great setup. Because it's the exact thing we're talking about. It's true.
Right.
There's like, it's insane.
But there's truth there.
If someone killed their daughter, they would take the guy's side because that guy's such a champ.
He's such a good guy.
Such a stand-up fella.
Yeah.
And what's the psychological term you use for him? He's
secure attached.
He's secure attached.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just think it's really fertile.
That's a good idea. I see how you're really good at like directing and helping people shape one man shows. Like, because I feel like the things you're picking up on are good, big themes that there'd be a lot there.
Well, I think like that's why, I don't know, that's kind of the premise of the show and the premise of, I feel like the way I think about comedy, which is like, you kind of just have to hang out with other comics and have them tell you what's interesting about you.
Because
you kind of can't know.
Yes. Oh, my God. I so remember making that discovery of, like, the first few times you talk about yourself with other comedians. And then they're like, wait, that's crazy. And you're like, you're like, it is? I would have never known. That is such a real way to find stuff.
I'll throw it back to you. What do you think, like, you listen to this podcast. What do you think I might be missing about myself that might be funny?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, what should I explore that I haven't explored, maybe? And they might be wrong. Like, I'm open to it being not even right.
I wonder, like, what it's like to move through the world as, like, just a guy with, like, blue eyes that's, like, friendly. I don't know anything about what, like... I'm curious, like, did women like you when you were single? Like, are you insecure or confident?
This is so funny.
One thing I was like recently rethinking, especially about the movie, because it was about a breakup. Like, one of the things that really upset me about being a few specific times I was dumped was that when I was being broken up with, the guy really. I could feel his main character energy, like, making me feel small. And then that got me thinking, like, do all guys just have main character energy? But I know I, like, always thought I had it too, so I'm not, like, hating on guys for having it. But I would be curious, like, do you feel like a main character kind of guy? Or did you when you were, you know, like, finding yourself? Or are you not that, and that's why you're successful, because you're, like, we're weird. I don't know.
These are good questions. And these are, I think these are good, like, penetrating kind of I should self-probe on a lot of this stuff. I was talking recently about like being single for this exact reason. Like I and it didn't go anywhere because it's almost like I feel like the audience sometimes can't flash back with me on it because they're kind of like, we can't even picture you when you were in your 20s. Like I had this joke where I was like, I hated being single because it's like this like insane experience where you're just like basically like walking around the world being like, does anyone want to be naked at the same time? And then like a lot of people are like, no. And then you got to be like, oh, and me neither. You know what I mean? And then some people say yes. And then you say no. And then and then that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, I that was my experience of being a single person was it was a lot of, I think it was a lot of anxiety at matching and mismatching all the time.
Oh.
Being like, we're a match. We're not a match. I'm going to go, okay, I don't want this to end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what age did you find
your... In my 20s. And then, yeah, and then I met Jenny, you know, when we were like 20. I was like 25 or something.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty young.
And then we got married when I was 30.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, that's very different from someone like Dave, who I would always be like to him, wow. Before we met, like, you must have just been, like, at home in your apartment. Like, I wonder when I'll find her. You know, you must have just been thinking that. And he would just, his response is like, no, I was fine. I didn't think about that at all. I was reading books, watching shows. And I'm like, what?
Working It Out is supported by Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. I should point out that this is an ad for Squarespace, but I love Squarespace. I was thrilled when they became an advertiser because we've used them for years. Our website for Thank God for Jokes was Squarespace. Our website for Stand Up and Vote was Squarespace. Couldn't recommend it more highly. We use it all the time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses, or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or eBooks. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, head to squarespace.com/birbigs, B-I-R-B-I-G-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/birbigs to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful and it just kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This is the Working It Out section. It's just new material that I'm trying to... do you just jot things down in your phone kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's sort of my whole deal.
Yeah.
I had the one the other day. My Uber driver in New Jersey didn't speak English, and so we didn't really talk. And so then we drove by a man dressed in a full baby outfit, like a bonnet and a tight-fitting mini top, and the driver looks back at me and he goes, baby or no baby? And then he starts laughing, and then I start laughing. And then I go, exactly. And I realize that in that way, like, comedy crosses all barriers, baby or no baby.
It does. That is beautiful. That just makes me feel good. It makes me...
Oh, it does?
Yeah, because I can't think of a specific, but I, of course, have had interactions that are awkward and quiet, and then something really crazy happens, and you're instantly, like, when you discover you're on the same page with this person that you assumed you would have nothing in common with, but it's like, oh, we're both not crazy enough to dress up like babies and think that's normal.
Totally.
So we have that.
And then I wrote this, which is, I feel like we don't choose what we remember from our own lives. Like, I don't remember my daughter's third birthday party, but I remember the day that my friend Ed told me that you could watch porn on the internet for free. They weren't the same day. It was the fall of 2011. I couldn't believe it. I was like, all my dreams are coming true at the same time. And then I do this digression where I go, to be clear, I don't support the ethics of how porn is made, but it's kind of like the ethics of eating meat. Like, I've watched the documentaries about how awful the meat industry is, but I also love a good fried chicken sandwich, and I think that those contradictions can peacefully coexist, or I should say they're going to have to, because good luck trying to get people to stop eating fried chicken sandwiches while eating porn.
I like that comparison a lot, that analogy.
The meat industry.
Yeah, because I feel the same way about both industries. Like, pretty much everything we consume as Americans is like got here. I have this like sweater. Everything got
the
here.
The phones. What the hell's in those phones? Where'd it come from?
It's all gotten here in a really bad way. But I'm
ill-begotten gains.
But I'm complicit, and I will never not be. I'm not gonna like lead the charge and like move us all to an island where there's peace. Like, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
But now I'm thinking, like, is there ethical porn? I guess OnlyFans is ethical.
Have you ever watched OnlyFans? Have you watched? I mean,
yeah, there is this one girl that I knew that Dave was curious about, and he would never do it himself. And I was like, I signed up. You can look.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I felt like I was like being really nice with that, and he was like, oh, that's cool that you did that. But he's not interested. He wasn't like, whatever. But yeah, sometimes, I mean, look, when you're a girl in Hollywood for 15 years, you're going to come across people who are eventually going to end up on OnlyFans, and you're going to want to see what's going on.
Oh, interesting.
So that's my take on it.
So in other words, like, you've encountered people in Los Angeles where you're like, they've mentioned or someone else has mentioned they're on OnlyFans. And then you're like, eventually you're like, all right,
I'll
support that. Yeah.
I'll throw $8.99 your way.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going on and maybe get creatively inspired. I don't know.
I get that. Did you feel creatively inspired?
No. All right.
Do you have any bits you're working on that are like half seedlings of bits or anything like that?
Well, it's like a bad time because the pregnancy has been rough.
Yes.
So I have not been that creative. Like, I got to feel comfortable to be creative, and it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But this is absolutely nowhere near a bit. But I did recently clock that I was just really feeling strongly that I wish that me and Dave were a gay male couple.
Mm.
I feel like gay male couples, like, they're awesome. This one again came up because of my misery towards my pregnancy. And he agreed. He was like, I wish we were a gay male couple too. Like, we were both kind of going into what that could be like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
There's something appealing about that.
Yeah.
Just a strong gay couple raising a child.
Like, there's no hormonal cycle that we're dealing with. I don't know. It seems like gay men's sex life's probably really fun. There just seems like there's a lot of, I don't know. I would love some testosterone. But again, this is like the pregnancy. I'm just like, I can't believe this chore that I have.
Oh.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm grateful.
Yeah, you're grateful. You're grateful. Blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a random story about that porn joke, the remembering porn joke. I don't know if I'll do this as a bit, but it's an interesting addendum, which is, I was on the subway to the Comedy Cellar one night, and I had the little joke cards, you know, like this, and I'm going through them, and this woman next to me goes, oh, are you a comedian? And I go, yeah. And she goes, I go, yeah, I'm just heading to the club right now. I'm working on new jokes. And then we both look down at the card and it says, remembering porn. And then it just sat there and she didn't say anything and I didn't say anything. And then I left the subway. Like, it was horrible.
She's probably like, he's not very good.
Exactly. And it was truly like, oh, the titles for these jokes are so embarrassing.
But isn't it kind of fun when someone finds out you're a comedian, they don't know who you are, and they just, you could tell that they like feel bad for you, and you're like, sure. No, it's fine. I'm fine.
Don't
trust
worry
me.
About me. Yeah, I'll be all right. So the final thing we do is called Working Out for a Cause. And basically, if there's any nonprofit that you support, we contribute to them and we link to them in the show notes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Anything for rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the foundation.
I'm going to look it up. So we're going to contribute to the Rheumatoid Arthritis Foundation at helpfightra.org. And thanks for coming on the show, Esther.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fangirl of this show. I discovered it like a couple months ago and just completely binged the whole thing and was like, this is the only smart content in comedy Aww. Podcasting. And so I'm really grateful.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for doing it.
Thanks for having me.
Working it out, cause it's not done. We're working it out, cause there's no one. That's gonna do it for another episode of Working It Out. I loved talking to that Esther Pavitsky. Her special Hot for My Name is on YouTube. Her movie, Drugstore June, is playing in select theaters and is available to rent on VOD. You can follow Esther on Instagram and TikTok at Esther Monster, at E-S-T-H-E-R Monster. You can watch the full video of this interview on my YouTube channel at Mike Birbiglia. And check out birbigs.com. Sign up for the mailing list to be the first to know about all of my upcoming shows. Our producers are myself, along with Peter Salomon, Joseph Birbiglia, and Mabel Lewis. Associate producer Gary Simons. Sound mix by Shub Saran. Supervising engineer Kate Belinsky. Special thanks to Jack Antonoff and Bleachers for their music. Jack's album is fantastic. The Bleachers album is fantastic. Hopefully we'll have him on the podcast soon and talk about that. Special thanks, as always, to my wife, the poet J. Hope Stein. Little Astronaut is her book that is in bookstores now and coming soon, I think, on audiobook. Special thanks, as always, to our daughter, Una, who built the original radio fort made of pillows. And thanks most of all to you who are listening. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It's a nice gesture. We appreciate it. More people find the podcast because of it. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Let's say your attachment style is podcast recommendations. Well, here would be a perfect opportunity to say, you know, we don't have the same taste in podcasts per se. You listen to more sort of hostile podcasts, sort of angry podcasts. And I listen to podcasts that are more about collaboration and creativity and love. And maybe this week you should try mine. It's called Working It Out. And maybe we'll have more in common after that. I'll see you next time, everybody.